Local Missions, Part 4, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. We're going to read halfway through, and later we're going to finish the reading when we are in the middle of the sermon. Local Missions, Part 4, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Verse 26, we will stop in verse 31, okay? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Verse 30. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Are you happy you're worth more than many sparrows? You're worth way more than that. Let us close our eyes. Lord Jesus, this is a very key verse. We need to know we are loved by you. And that you have us in your hand. Therefore, speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us quickly recap. This is Local Mission Part 4. For sake of time, I'm only going to recap part 3. And we ended up talking that persecution is our badge of honor. Do you remember that, church? It was our conclusion. We want to avoid resistance. We want to be nice. Don't lie to me. We all want to be nice. We don't want people talking about us. We don't want to be on a turmoil. However, if we speak the truth, if we are vocal Christians, if people look at us, this is a godly man, that's a godly lady, and now they resist us because of that, because we are vocal, and they persecute us, that becomes our badge of honor. That's where we ended up. So I have two scriptures here that may summarize to us our last sermon. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So don't be afraid of people who oppose you. It is actually a sign that you are doing your job well. You're being light of the world. You're being salt of the world. Next one, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, some, is that what the text says? A few of them. The pastor. Is that what the text say? Everyone. Does that include you? Absolutely. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Fact. Okay? This resume summarizes our last sermon. Now, introduction for this part 4, church. You have seen, it starts in verse 26. Don't be afraid. You can tell Jesus is talking about fear of God versus fear of men. That's the train, that's the flow of this sermon. The idea of persecution leads the disciples to either fear men or fear God. Church, yesterday I was in a wedding, and you cannot renounce your culture. You cannot pretend you're not Brazilian when you are Brazilian. Okay? It's a Canadian, no, sorry, it's not a Canadian wedding. It's a wedding in Canada. The venue is Canadian. The pictures need to be American, you know, the nice picture, the nice lights. But church, you can tell each culture in the wedding. I saw my Latino friend coming. Glasses, tuxedo, completely outstanding color, and he comes. As I told you, the wedding is in Canada, but it wasn't made by Canadians. It starts at 3. Repeat with me, 3. You know some cultures that doesn't mean anything. Do you know that? Okay. The wedding started a little bit later. You can't escape culture. And here, church, why am I telling you this? There is a saying that it's frightening. This saying, it makes you deaf when you hear it. Listen. Culture, it's vision for breakfast. I'll repeat it. Culture, it's vision for breakfast. Okay? That's what Jesus is talking about. Let us go to the next slide, please. The reason why Jesus keeps telling you, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, he knows culture, it's vision for breakfast. Listen to me. This is the vision, the word of God. Nobody can change it. Nobody can take out of it. Nobody can add to it. What is the vision? I need to evangelize. I need to speak up. That's the vision. Culture tells you, you have your truth, I have my truth. We go to Tim Hortons, we take religion off the table, and we have a nice meal. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about Christ. Don't share the gospel with me. Culturally speaking, that's not nice. And if we let that culture happen, what happens? Cultures eat vision for breakfast. Are you following me? That's why Jesus says, don't be afraid to speak out. I know you will be afraid to speak out. I know they're going to tell you, be nice. Keep your faith just to you. Keep your faith just to the building. I know that's what the culture is going to tell you to do. Don't let culture eat the vision. Don't let culture eat the mission for breakfast. Don't be afraid. Speak up. That's the idea here in verse 26 and verse 27. What you hear, what it's concealed. There is nothing hidden that will be not shown. Speak from the rooftops. What is Jesus talking to you? What is Jesus saying to you, church? As you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit, remember last sermon we talked about the Holy Spirit? He is given to us as our attorney, as our helper, as our Lord. Don't be afraid when people try to persecute you. Don't be afraid when people drag you to court. In the moment, the Holy Spirit will help you to speak out. Do you remember that from last sermon? That's the same idea here. The Holy Spirit who has worked in you as you read the Word of God every single day, the truth that is stored in you cannot be concealed. As a matter of fact, it gotta go to the rooftops. And as a matter of fact, it gotta be speak out. That's the idea of the Bible. Back in the days, they did not have this pulpit. Back in the days, they did not have a microphone. Back in the days, they did not have social media. If you have a message that it's so important, it is concealed in your heart, it is stirring up in your heart, and you need to speak out to as many people as you need, where would you speak it? You go to the highest place and you shout, "Everybody, listen to me. I have good news." Jesus is telling his disciples, don't be afraid to speak out. I know when persecution comes, I know when resistance comes, I know when debate comes, we want to remain quiet. Don't be afraid of that. You have a treasure in your heart. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about your faith. Tell people about your hope. In church, do you remember, I'm going to speak this name here, just raise your hand if you remember him, Charlie Kirk. Just two people? Okay, I'll try it again. Maybe it's my accent. Charlie Kirk. Raise your hand. Okay. Everybody knows the story, right? Don't be afraid of temporary death. This is not to talk about Charlie Kirk. It's just to know if you know the man. Now forget about him, okay? We are talking about Jesus. We are talking about you. You are talking about me. Charlie Kirk, when he was speaking out, somebody shot him, okay? Those things may happen. They are not common, praise God. They're not common. The first time Jesus is saying to you, don't be afraid to speak out, it's because culture is trying to eat vision for breakfast. That second part here, which is in verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Jesus is saying, yes, sometimes people hate God so much that the only way they can make the disciples of Christ to remain quiet is if they literally kill him. Okay? Even if that's the case, don't be afraid. Remember, I told you that Jesus is a great leader, and every great leader, they are transparent. Every great leader, they give heads up. He's giving you one vision. You need to be a vocal Christian. You need to speak the truth. And he's giving you two different scenarios: natural resistance, cultural resistance, or even physical resistance. In either, we have a duty. We need to speak out. And he, as a great leader as he is, he tells you not to fear man, because you have the option to fear God. Because you have the Holy Spirit living you. Because God, as we read verse 30 and verse 31, all the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. Why you don't need to be afraid of men? Because God has your hand in his hands. Oh, sorry. God has your life in his hands. That's the reason why. Church, and this leads us to our next slide, which really pay attention to this one, church. Really pay attention to this one. Confession. Confession. From verse 26 to verse 31, Jesus is saying, you need to be a vocal Christian. Don't be afraid of culture who is trying to eat vision for breakfast. Don't be afraid from radical people who can't take the truth, and then they start to go to aggression. You have God who has your life in his hands. Therefore, you can fear God. How do you fear God, church? It's by confessing him. It's by speaking out. It is not a theory. It is not a question I ask you, which church do you go? Fear God means you are a vocal Christian. You are confessing Christian. Let us read verse 32 and verse 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Church, as I prepared for this sermon, reading this from another translation, it really gives you the idea Jesus is trying to give you. It says, whoever confess me before others. Repeat with me, others. We have a church tradition, when the baby is born, we baptize him. When the baby grows up, what does he need to do? Help me. Confession of faith. Is he mandate to do that? I don't know, because I haven't been there. I haven't been here. But I assume he's expected to do that. Is that correct? He's expected to do that. Is that confession of faith the one Jesus is talking about? That confession of faith, it's before the church. It is expected. The baby feels awkward if he doesn't do it. That's not the confession of faith Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the confession of faith that it's done before others. Outside. Are you following me? That's what Jesus is talking about. Church, I told you, this is the heart of the sermon. What is Jesus saying to you? My disciples are vocal Christians. My disciples, the treasure of scriptures, don't stay just in their hearts. My disciples, the treasure of scripture stays in their mouth. Out there, they are vocal Christians. Out there, they have tough conversations. Out there, people know they are believers. Why? Because they fear God. How about when we remain silent? What does that tell you? What does that tell me? According to Jesus, if you and I will remain silent out there, if you and I are FBI Christians, secret Christians, nobody knows we are Christians. Nobody knows about our faith. That means we fear men. Why we are not vocal? It's not because we don't know the truth. We know the truth. Why are we not vocal? We sing every Sunday. We read the Bible. Why we are not vocal? Because we fear men. Tough conversation. Can of worms. You stick with your truth. I stick with my truth. And why do we do this? Because we fear men. We fear opinion. We fear resistance. Okay? Did you follow Jesus' train of thought? It's not about the confession of faith we do here when somebody becomes old. It is our daily confession of faith out there. So, church, understanding that Jesus is going to maintain the same idea, culture will pressure you, now he's going to talk about family, okay? Yes, love versus hate. Let us read from verse 34 to verse 37. Actually, let us read all the way to verse 39. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, it's the same idea, but here it's slightly different. In the very beginning of this text, Jesus is talking to you about the things you should do despite the pressure. You should be a vocal Christian. That's what you need to do. Here, Jesus is talking about the thing you should not do. What you cannot do because of pressure. You cannot quit. Disciples of Christ are not quitters. Please say amen. We don't quit Jesus Christ. We stick with him. That's what Jesus is saying. Even the ones who love us the most will hate us if they hate God, and we are commanded to love them instead of hating them. Church, verse 34 to verse 37, it's an easy verse to be misunderstood. Easy. Any person who reads this thinks Jesus is talking about you need to be rebellious. You need to be radical. You love me, you forget about your family. You love me, you spend Monday from Monday in the church, go home just to sleep. That's not what Jesus is saying. Pay attention, church. When Jesus says that a man will be against his father, a daughter against his mother, the members of the family will divide, he's not saying his disciples are the agents of rebellion. His disciples are the target of rebellion. I'll give you an illustration. Anti-Semitism. Why do people hate Jews? Just because they're Jews. That's the scenario here. You became Christian. If the people of your house hate God, automatically they're going to persecute you. You're not the agent. It's just your belief automatically make them come after you. The idea Jesus has here, it's very simple, church. In the Middle East, religion and family are connected. Therefore, what does a parent do? If you became Christian, either you renounce your faith or either you renounce your family. That's the idea. You see, the hate doesn't come from the Christian. The hate comes from the opposition. The challenge comes from the opposition. And what does the Christian person need to do? Stand firm. And by the way, Jesus tells us to love them back. Pay attention to verse 37, church. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, it's not worthy of me. Another text that it's easy to be misunderstood. Jesus is not telling you that you should not love your parents. As a matter of fact, he already thinks you do. He's saying, anyone who loves, I know you love your family. You cannot love them more than me if they are challenging your faith. If they are saying, it's your faith or the family, you know who you need to stick with. You need to stick with Jesus. Why, Gustavo? Culturally, this is not accepted. Why? Pay attention with what Jesus is telling you, church. You don't need to be fear men. Right in the beginning, you need to speak up. Your relation with Jesus Christ, it's more important than culture. It's more important than the government. It's more important than whatever society dictates. Jesus tells you not to fear man, but to fear God, even though that may have physical consequences. Even though some radical people are going to come after you aggressively. Why? Your relationship with God goes beyond temporary death. The day you die, you're dead, but you're with the Lord to live eternally. Your relationship with God surpasses death. Now, your relationship with God surpasses family. Out of all the relationships we have in the world, with society, with the body, life and death, with family, God is always the strongest one. Simple. He is our creator. We owe our lives to him. That's what Jesus is saying here. Next slide, please. And this brings us to the conclusion. Love Christ, love the cross, which was our very last couple of verses. Church, when Jesus says, take up your cross, it sounds very romantic. Why? Because behind this beautiful screen here, there is a beautiful cross. Do you remember that? If I lifted this screen, you're going to see the cross. It's beautiful. Okay? The cross is romantic today. Why? Because when you look to the cross, you look for your forgiveness. You look for the empty cross. You look for the resurrection of Christ. You know you're going to be with him forever. Also, every person, when they hear these words, take up your cross and follow Jesus, they think about morality. They think, oh, I should take up my cross. You are saying that I need to live a pure life. I take up my cross, it means I should not sin. It means I need to pray more. Church, according to the context, that's not what Jesus is saying. Pay attention, this is Matthew chapter 10. You still don't know about your resurrection. You still don't know about your forgiveness. And according to the context, Jesus is talking about humiliation. Jesus is talking about persecution is a badge of honor. Jesus is talking about every time you are vocal about your faith, every time you are confessional Christian, not here, out there, the world is going to persecute you. The world's going to crucify you. And the idea of the cross, it's that one, church. The cross wasn't beautiful. The cross was humiliation. Death penalty. Not private, public. So everybody knows how humiliating, how embarrassing it is, the cross. Jesus is saying, my disciples, Emmanuel Reformed Church, Gustavo, my disciples, they are vocal about their faith, even though the world mocks them. Even though the world calls them antiquate, old, what is the name? Narrow head? Narrow-minded. Even though all these names are the labels of Christians, disciples of Christ are not afraid. You can call me whatever you want. I take up my cross. I am a vocal Christian. I know whom I have believed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Gustavo? People are mocking you. Why, Gustavo? People are dying. Because the gospel is the power of God to save me, to save you, to save even the mockers. That's why I'm not afraid of the ashamed of the gospel. That's what Jesus is saying here. So, church, very conclusion. Let us be vocal Christians. Can I get an amen at least? Let us be vocal Christians. I do want to finish this with an illustration I heard. How are you going to be a good vocal Christian without being that guy? Okay? Without being the people you are not comfortable to talk with. There is this pastor, and he was having a conversation in the airplane, and a great conversation, and he said, can I share you about my faith? Can I share you with you the gospel? The listener, hate, the listener said, no, don't talk to me about religion. Close the window. That pastor had two options. Feel embarrassed or badger the guy. I'm going to speak even though you don't want to listen. You deserve to go to hell. Blah, blah, blah. He said if he feels embarrassed, that's bad. Because he's not embarrassed of his faith. He said if he badges the guy, he's on a mistake, because the guy's going to be with a bad taste in his mouth. He's going to say, is this what it's Christianity? You can't even respect me saying I don't want to talk about this subject. He, in this very tough situation, on the dot, in the airplane, he breathe. No problem. How's your sister? You were talking to me about your sister. And he just kept the conversation. the plane landed, and the guy stood up. He was picking up his bags. And before he left, he just said this: "I'm sorry. You were nice this whole time. And I didn't treat you well when I erupted, when I heard the word gospel. I'm sorry." And then he walked away. So church, beautiful, right? Wisdom. It's possible to be a vocal Christian with wisdom, not ashamed of your faith. It's very possible. And that's what Jesus called us to do. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we hear your word, and thank you. We love your word. We are nourished by your word, and we have a clear message from your word. Help us to be vocal Christians, Lord. And Romans chapter 1:16, really, Lord, to be rooted in our hearts. We are not ashamed of you, Lord. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Bless Emmanuel, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.